Hey, you are listening to the Grumpy Guy BJJ podcast.
Welcome to the Grumpy Guy BJJ podcast with James Wilson and Rob Eichhoff.
Grumpy Guy's back.
We are back. Episode 32. 32, I believe.
Yes. So we are fresh off of a seminar that we did with Bruno. What is Bruno's last name?
I was just going to say that. What the heck is his last name?
I don't know.
It's Pimenta's brother-in-law.
Yeah, I'm correct? Sure he enjoys being known as Pimenta's brother. Bruno, yeah. Pimenta's brother-in-law.
But when you marry into that family, yes, and you are a jiu-jitsu guy yourself.
Black belt. Good black belt.
You are going to live in that shadow.
Yes, you know that's coming.
It's like playing basketball and marrying into Michael Jordan's family.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're never going to be...
No.
The guy in the family.
He's going to have that there.
Yep, but it just is what it is.
Yeah. But it was fun, man. Another great Saturday full of jiu-jitsu. And then we got Kevin and Bruno and Molly, his girl, coming over for... Bruno's going to do some Brazilian barbecue.
Oh, he's the one running the grill.
Yeah, he's running the grill, dude.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I invited them over for the barbecue. And all of a sudden, he's like, really? I love fucking Brazilian barbecue and shit up. So yeah, they went and got a bunch of meat and...
Oh, no shit. I didn't know that was the whole deal.
Yeah, he's running the show, bro. It's like going to freaking... Where's the place? The Tejas?
Fogo de Chao.
What?
Fogo de Chao.
That's it.
I think that's one of the... One of... That's like a big chain Brazilian steakhouse.
That's not the one that we go to in Denver. After Fight to Win, we went to one. It was...
Man, are you sure?
Yeah, it was... It may be... I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways, one of those Brazilian steakhouse.
Where you got the...
If you ain't ever been...
You got the red card and the green card.
You are missing out. Right, yeah. Either you're fucking open or you're not, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I love those places. But, man, I haven't had one in a while, so I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be good. So, and then we got fights tonight.
Yeah, so, pretty good card.
Decent card.
There's one... I'm going to bitch about this, though. You got Robert Whittaker and Yoel Romero.
Yep.
That's a big one I'm looking for. Holly Holm and that Amanda chick. I forget what her... I think her name's Amanda. Whatever. Good fight. Isn't this the RDA? And Colby Covington. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. There's a lot of other good fights on there. But this is what I'm pissed off about. Is the fact that these fucking asshats... put CM Punk on the main card. Dude, there's... Like, if you look at... Because you have the main card, which has half a dozen fights.
Yes.
Then you have the prelims.
Now you're going to talk
Then
logic.
You have the fight pass prelims.
Yes.
Dude, down in like the... I mean, there is some fucking good guys in the fight pass prelims.
But you understand why they signed that guy. It had nothing to do with fight talent. It had to do with trying to get a crossover going, right? That's why, like... That's why WWE loaned Brock Lesnar... back.
But Brock Lesnar was a D1 wrestler.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, though, that there is this, I think that the UFC has this idea that there is this crossover between the WWF, WWE. I know, I was talking with Tim today. It's like, fuck you, World Wildlife Fund. It's always going to be WWF.
It's WWE.
But anyways, WWE today. But there's this thought that there's this crossover between their fans, and that, you know, if you can, because fucking Ronda Rousey, you know what I mean? She's done. She's done UFC. Now she's like a WWE superstar. And so I think like CM Punk was completely signed 100%, nothing else, to try to tap into that pipeline to see if they could get some WWE fans who don't know any UFC fans. But they're like, oh, CM Punk, I remember that guy. Yeah, I'll tune in and watch that fight. And maybe they'll see something that they like and they'll stick around.
God damn it, man. I understand that from trying to get these fucking pro wrestling knucklehead fans to watch a real martial art.
Yeah.
But fuck, man.
You don't
man.
Like pro wrestling?
No.
You never watched Hulk Hogan?
When I was a kid.
Okay, Ultimate Warrior?
Dude, when I was 8 years old. When I was 8 years old.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
But I was 8 fucking years old.
There's still something entertaining about it, a little bit.
No.
Anyway, I think that there's a small... It's entertaining. It's entertainment value. Those dudes are crazy athletes, man.
I won't argue that. They do. I won't argue that. But I would rather watch a goddamn sitcom than watch this fucking soap opera for men and this fake fighting bullshit.
I know.
It's...
I know what you're
saying. It's so frustrating because, dude, I love martial arts, man. And I love the UFC. But they got so many goddamn fights now. It's hard to keep up with. You know, and then they just start slapping intern belts on people. They start giving people, like, Kobe Covington's a good fighter. But just because he runs his goddamn mouth, he gets to go fight, you know, Rafael Dos Anjos. He hasn't earned that, dude. He hasn't beat enough people yet. You know what I mean? Like, RDA is a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
So I hope he beats the piss out of Kobe. But he talks a lot of shit. So they put him up there. And then they put CM Punk up in the fucking main card. God damn it, man. It just waters down. It pisses me off. It's entertainment.
You look back to the Romans, they didn't even fucking pretend. They put people in there with goddamn lions. You know what I mean? Like, go back to Pride. It's entertainment. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably the problem.
But I had more respect for Pride.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what upsets you, is they're trying to put the fucking, the front on that it's different. You know what I mean? That, no, this isn't just entertainment. Like, no. This is real athletic, martial arts, merit-based stuff. And I think on some level it is. I think when you really boil it down to, like, the guys at the top, you know, yeah, every once in a while you get some hot shot who can talk some shit and he talks his way into a thing and gets lucky and has a little run or something like that. But for the most part, you see, like, guys like GSP and Anderson Silva and, like, you know, real fucking true good martial artists who are at the top. And so, but the thing is like, it's billed as this thing to, like, figure out who's the best, right? And so, like, who's the best 170-pound martial artist on the planet? But at the end of the day, though, they have to have some entertainment value. Like, what put UFC on the map? What did it? The Ultimate Fighter.
The Ultimate Fighter.
The Ultimate Fighter. Watching those motherfuckers locked into a Chris Lieben.
No, it wasn't just the show itself. I would disagree. Like, the first...
Well, they put fights on every week, so right, you got to see it.
But, the first...
Free fights.
The first season didn't make UFC a household name until the finale when Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin had that fucking just a barn burner of a fight.
They did, but you know what? But what made that different than other fights? Because there had been barn burners of fights before. What made that different?
But it was on regular TV.
It was on regular TV, and we knew who these motherfuckers were.
Now I disagree.
We watched them for 6 weeks. Right, you know what I mean? Like,
there was so many people. I saw the numbers. Like, while that fight was going on, it was so entertaining. Like, people that were just channel surfing.
Right.
Came across it.
But then, like, they check into it. They're like, what the fuck is this going on? Ultimate Fighter show. Right. And then they can watch reruns. And then they can watch the next season.
Right. You know what I mean? But they didn't get a ton of more fans because it was still the hardcore people just watching it. Because this was back in, like, 2007, I believe, right?
It got me into it, man. I knew what it was. And I'd watch some stuff every now and then. But I'll admit, like, the Ultimate Fighter show.
And that was before you started doing jiu-jitsu, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd done martial arts as a kid. So right. I had in high school too, so I had some, but yeah, that, like, that's what, watching that show every week and getting to see a free fight on TV every week and getting to follow the story of these fighters, so that by the time it got to the end and it's like, you know, you kind of had people that you were rooting for and people that you thought were assholes and stuff like that. And because, man, in the original one, like, when you lost, you went home.
Yeah.
Remember that?
They
kicked him out of the house. And so it started getting down to, like, nobody. And then they brought Chris Lieben back. And he was, like, the fucking hot-headed, like,
getting
crazy motherfucker
fights in the house.
Shit.
Yeah.
Breaking down
the doors. God, I remember that episode.
There were some fucking names. Who else was on there? Damn it, dude. Ken Florian? Wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He was on that original season.
Diego Sanchez.
And you had Diego Sanchez. And, yeah, you had fucking
Forrest Griffin.
And
Stephen Bonner.
It's like, dude, there were some fucking people that came out of that group. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, so to have a group that was, like, that good and could put... But anyways, I don't know what the fuck how we got on that. But I think that the Ultimate Fighter, like, the UFC didn't really get to that tipping point until it tapped into that entertainment value. And the Ultimate Fighter's what really kind of showed them, like, holy fuck, this entertainment value has a big side of it. It's not just putting a bunch of crazy motherfuckers in a cage and letting them get after each other. So that's why you see CM Punk now. That's why you see, you know, Colby Covington able to kind of talk his way up the ranks a little bit.
The thing is, Colby Covington can fight.
No, I know. But that's not what you're saying. You're saying that, like, he may be getting a little bit more, maybe getting pushed ahead a little bit faster than he normally would, if he wasn't such a good
shit talker
and able to kind of like draw interest to the fight. And so, yeah, man, I know what you're saying, but at the end of the day, it's like
I know it's entertainment and they have to sell tickets. And it kind of,
those poor fuckers who paid $4 billion for the UFC are trying to sell some tickets.
They got a huge monthly knot they got to make, dude. I can only imagine.
Oh, God. That was buy low, sell high at its finest. And they sold it high, like when John Jones and Ronda Rousey and like and Conor McGregor, like all three of them were still like active, you know, stars in the UFC. Yeah, man. Like, dude, God, those guys knew what they were doing.
Here's my dream, my pie in the sky dream for the UFC. This is what I think they should do. Because they're shaking shit up anyways. They're doing all this fucking retarded shit, I think. Man, I think they start having weight classes every 10 pounds. So whatever champs they have now, they say, that's great, you're the champ at that time, but we don't give a fuck. Here's, we got a 125, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75, 10-pound fucking increments, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so they have to scrap some of the weight classes. Like, the 170 pounds is going to go away, right? Those guys are going to have to go down to 165. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are fucking gigantic anyway, man. You see a lot of these pro fighters that fight at 155, they walk around at 200 fucking pounds, dude. Get rid of the
weight cuts.
Yes, I agree.
Get rid of the weight cutting.
Well, that's another topic. Yeah. So it's my dream is what I think would set all this right the ship is first start new and then have a tournament for each fucking weight class, man. Like, so start it at the beginning of the year. You know, and then they got like a year long tournament. Like, we're gonna have this many fights throughout the year. The pinnacle is December 31st. We got a big show to where there's a title fight for every fucking weight class, man. That is the big pay per view at the end of the year. And so you got some other pay per views every couple months leading up, tournament style, building up to this fucking badass pay per view at the end of the year, and then it establishes the champ of all these new weight classes, and they stop putting fucking jokers like CM Punk on the main card, and they put some real goddamn fighters in there.
It won't work.
That's what they need to do, man.
I'll tell you what, it won't work.
It'll work.
It won't work.
Give me in charge of that fucking...
You lock people in for a year, though. You know what I mean? Like,
But if they build those tournaments and they show you, man, and they do build-up stories, they do these little production things, man.
But like, how do you make... Like, somebody who at the beginning of the year wasn't necessarily good enough to make the tournament, who by the end of the year is pretty obvious, like, man, this motherfucker's like, you know what I mean? Like, right now, they have the ability, because the rankings are arbitrary. Right. So that's the other thing that they're able to do is like, what's his name?
Those rankings.
Like Francis Ngannou.
Those rankings, right? Are stupid.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, he would have been someone that originally you'd have been like, who's this guy? And then it's like, oh fuck, like we should have had him in the tournament. And so but the rankings are, they're crazy. I keep slapping the table. That's the rankings are fucking nuts.
Well,
but that's the thing though, is like, again, you're trying to put something on it. It's not like, if I was for pure entertainment value, like, that's boring as fuck. Like,
but that's how you're going to find out who the best goddamn fighter is.
That's not what people care about. And that's true. And that's what, like, even like George GSP was saying in his interview. He's like, you think that really means that, like, that you're the baddest man on the planet just because you have that belt? It means nothing.
No, it doesn't mean nothing.
Like, maybe, like you said, like, maybe number 7 on the list can beat you. But for some reason, he can't beat the, like, you know, 3 or 4 guys in front of him who to get to you. And you're but able
you're
to
never,
figure out
you're
his
never
going
to get rid of that problem. I mean, that's trying to solve MMA math, and it doesn't work because you've got stylistic matchups.
Yeah.
And you got, I mean, any of you listening that have done jiu-jitsu for a while, you know.
What? Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go against somebody that, you know, you can just fucking run through them, and then, you know, you have a training partner that you fucking battle with all the time, but they fuck up your training partner. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense. You're like, it's just stylistic matchups, man.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. So, like, the guy at the top isn't necessarily the baddest man
on
the planet.
No, but that'll sort itself out, man. That'll sort itself out.
It's just, that's where he's at. Maybe if number 7 could talk a little better shit and was able to, like, leapfrog a little bit, and like, oh, shit. And then, anyways.
That's my dream.
I hear you.
It all stems from putting that goddamn CM Punk, because that motherfucker had no... Like, if you come from a high D1 level wrestling, that would be like the only thing I could see.
I'm gonna laugh if he wins tonight, man.
he's going against some other guy who's like 0-1.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck? I don't even know who this other dude is.
Yeah.
But he can't be...
I'm assuming this other dude had to have had a little bit more experience on his way up.
This dude's like fucking 0-1. You think
right? No, I mean like amateur. Well, that's the thing with CM Punk, because he hasn't even fought as an amateur.
Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't looked this other dude
like,
up.
I'm just going to assume that he had a few, like, again, unless this dude's been cherry-picked like a motherfucker, like they literally went out to, like,
a fucking... A tough man contest.
And, dude, I guess, man, like, just out in the middle of nowhere, and is, like, showed up at some amateur contest, and like, yo, where's a 0-0 dude? Like, yeah, we're going to pluck him right over here to the UFC. You know, so he's probably got a little bit more seasoning than old CM Punk does.
And yeah, like, but CM Punk's coming from a different place. He was, you know, he's pretty athletic if he's a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a fucking couch potato. And he's got...
Look at you defending CM Punk.
And he's got money at his disposal, so he can...
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's got
Duke Rufus.
Yeah, so he can train full fucking time.
Yeah.
So that's a little difference. You know, if you take somebody that's semi-athletic,
yep.
You know, pretty athletic.
This other motherfucker is coming out. He knows. Like, dude, this is CM Punk.
Yeah. And then, you know, and this guy's got, he can just train full time. He doesn't have to have a fucking job where he works 60 hours a week and start training on the weekends. It's a different thing.
I know.
You know, so, I don't know. Fuck him. He shouldn't be on the main card. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I hear you.
Get back to that.
So, did you pay any attention to Worlds?
No.
No?
I haven't had time.
Yeah.
No.
It was, I saw a little bit here and there. The big controversy, though, is like, I guess Keenan.
There was some sort of Keenan controversy. They didn't give him points.
DQ'd or didn't get points. Or...
He didn't get points.
No, he lost the ref's decision, basically. And I guess, too, like something, because Rolly, I don't know if you saw our boy Rolly Delgado, straight ankle lock wizard, who helps us out all the time up here. He shot a video kind of going over like the reaping rule. And it looked like he was trying to go for a lens lock. And
Keenan was?
Yeah, like old boy was going for a foot lock on him. And then he was going for a lens lock. And he was pulling it to his chest to crunch.
Put some pressure on it.
And the guy defended by shooting his leg across. And that put him in a reap or what. Or like Keenan whatever ended up in like a reaping position.
So they're saying like Keenan forced the reap?
Yeah. Like, so, I don't know, man. Like,
I have to watch the video.
It got DQ'd on some sort of, like, weird reaping rule, so it...
Jesus Christ, that's fun. I saw a little bit, dude, but I'm not on Facebook anymore.
Yeah.
So I haven't paid attention to anything.
I know. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention, but I just saw that. There was a little bit of controversy about that. But it's interesting to me. Like, I keep... The IBJJF is this interesting thing. Like, I can't understand, like, why... It's like this grandfathered in thing that everybody bitches about.
But everybody still supports
it. Everybody still supports because with their money and their presence and their name and stuff like that.
I don't get it either. I've thought about this a lot. Because they put on a big tournament. You know, like for Masters Worlds, that's like our biggest tournament of the year that we shoot for. Right? And we do some other ones, but that is, you know, for some reason or another, that's like a big goddamn tournament.
Yeah.
And again... I don't get it, man. I really don't get it because the rule set sucks.
One of our guys, Shay, got DQ'd last year on a bullshit reaping rule.
Bullshit reap. Didn't you get disqualified?
No. I got... What happened to me was their team...
Was yelling reaping,
and I didn't know who was yelling. I was doing a belly down ankle lock on the guy, and they were screaming reaping, and I didn't know who was screaming it, and so like I looked up to like kind of... You know, I'm trying to be like, I don't know, man. I'm not in there to like fucking cheat and hurt people and shit.
Right.
And so, but it was their team screaming and me turning a little bit to see who the fuck's screaming. It, you know, it was my own inexperience, but allowed him to kind of like twist out and get out and ended up, you know, winning on a couple of points, even though I, you know, permanently disabled his leg for about 2 months afterwards. Like literally, I guess I like tore some muscles and snapped his... Cause I like his ankle like popped. It was a weird sequence, dude. Cause like his ankle popped and I let go of it because in training, like if I feel somebody's ankle pop, like I'm gonna let go. And then I realized like, oh wait a minute, this guy didn't tap and I'm gonna, you know, turn him. I still gotta go. So I started putting more heat on. Ended up going like belly down. And man, I had it. He had kicked through a little bit, so it was on the calf Achilles junction. And dude, I was just belly down, just cranking. I was like, I'm taking this guy's leg home or whatever. And then they start screaming reaping. But yeah, I guess I like popped his ankle and tore a few muscles in his calf or something. See, that to me is fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, I think that if you win a match on points but can't continue because you got hurt so bad by a submission attempt that you didn't tap to, you shouldn't be allowed to advance. The guy that guy should be able to take your place. The guy that lost.
I agree, but I don't think there's a good way to fix that in our sport. It's a sport.
Well, I would,
you know what I'm saying? It's a sport.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to fix. You go? No. Why not? Well, you remember that fucking ankle lock that old boy had me, and I can't walk now. Okay, well, old boy can take your place now because, like, you should have tapped, you dumb shit. It's a fucking tournament. Nobody's getting, you know what I mean? Like, people who don't tap to submissions attempts and are, like, getting their elbows popped and their fucking ankles popped and stuff like that, like, that's stupid. You know what I mean? Like, how do you get that mentality out of people? You're not going to advance. Like, oh, yeah, you won on points, but you can't advance because you're too hurt to actually compete anymore. Like, we're not going to reward that fucking mindset anymore because that's not martial arts. Like, in the real world, that other dude won. You're maimed. You're, like, disabled.
And he's still out there.
And he's still fucking standing up, like, fine. It's like, oh, what the fuck are points when you can't walk and he's fine, but you scored two more points than him, so, you know, like, what the fuck is that?
I agree, but I don't have an answer how to fix it.
We do a tournament. No, I'm kidding.
I don't, you know, being that it is a sport and there is a point system.
Yeah.
That's a tough one to fix. You know, that goes back to that old match. I think it was with Jacare and Hodger Gracie, right? To where he broke Jacare's arm. Straight up, like, with a Kimura, I think. I mean, fucking broke his arm. Jacare was up on points. He didn't give a fuck. He just stuffed it in his belt. So, because his arm was all limp, like limp noodle, stuffed it in his belt so it wouldn't get caught again, and kept wrestling because there was only like a minute left, and he won the match. You can look it up. It's on YouTube.
I remember. I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Being that there is a, it's not a kumite. We're not fighting to the death. You know what I mean? It is a sport with a point system involved. I don't know how to fix it. I understand and I agree with you, but I don't know how to fix that.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, outside of, like I said, like, I don't know what's wrong with if you can't continue in the tournament,
the guy who broke your shit should get to go.
Yeah, should get to go.
Instead, because if not, now the guy that you were supposed to face gets a bye.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it kind of fucks up.
It's not fair to the next guy that he's facing. No. You know? And I think it's really retarded to put people in that position. Because I got to be honest with you. Like, this is one of the things, too, for me, like, that's hard with competing. Is like, you know, I let go of old boy's ankle when I felt it pop because I'm not here to hurt people, you know? And I don't even care. Like, I felt bad that I did hurt the guy. Like, I didn't want to hurt the guy. And it actually made me mad that I got put in that position, that he should have fucking tapped, that he was done. And he wouldn't tap, and he made me hurt him. That's fucking bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, that's just, like, is this a sport or not? And if it's a sport, then I shouldn't be in a position where I have to physically maim you or potentially do it. You know what I mean? Like, if I was sitting there and had someone dead to rights on an arm bar and they wouldn't tap, man, I gotta be totally honest with you. I don't think I could snap their arm. And I was down on points and I was gonna lose the match, I'd fucking lose it. I would not snap the dude's arm. I don't think I could live with myself. Like, the ankle thing happened in the moment. It was fast and I still felt bad about it. But dude, if there was like some premeditated thing where I was like, well, I'm just gonna have to crank this till it fucking snaps, like, that's not what I'm in this for.
Hey, that's a tough mindset, man. Because I had, like, even that last tournament in Denver, the match I won, like, I fucking popped old boy's arm pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, I put some heat on that thing.
But again, like, and something happens, like, quick in the moment.
It was kind of quick, but, like, it was tight. I was putting some heat on it.
Yeah.
And I felt he wasn't going to tap or he was going to rip out of there. I'm like, all right, man, we're fucking throttling this thing up a little bit.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, it's like, da-da! And then he screams, right. You know, and then he hollers, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, yeah, it is a rough sport, and, yeah, I don't want to hurt anybody, man.
Right.
And we're not, you know, I have so much respect for anybody I compete against or train with. Like, I'm not trying to hurt anybody.
Yeah. I hate being put in that position. Yeah.
It is a funny thing.
And people just get so stubborn, and it is. It's like if you didn't have the fucking the points, it, you know, part of it in there or whatever.
It's not even the points. It's the pride and the ego thing. Oh, I mean, look at you and I rolling today. You had that knee bar you had on me. It was deep, dude. And I was so pissed I let you get that far. And I was like, fuck it, I am not tapping to this thing. Like, I'm tightening up my hands.
See, but that's a perfect example. Like, I'm not going to... I wasn't going to put that heat on there.
There was ego and pride. And I was like, dude, I am going to tough this fucking thing out until I have to tap.
I know.
And you looked out for me better than I looked out for myself. I could tell. You know, when I got out of there, I knew. It wasn't like my own doings. It was like, this fucker, like, he didn't hip into it. Like, he didn't deadlift the fuck out of my leg. You know, like, you could have. Like,
you respect your knees, Rob.
You respected my knee better, more than I did. And so it is a fucked up thing, because that was total just arrogance and, you know, and pride. Like,
God, I've been there before, though. Yeah, like just stupid. I'm like, I'll let it pop.
Like, fuck it, I didn't let it pop once. I'm good for one pop.
That's what you said, I know.
In my head, I was like, I was good for one pop. You know, if it pops once, it's kind of like cracking your knuckle. You get the second pop.
It's a fine line. Because, like I said, I get that way, too. I get stubborn. But, man, most of the time, though, it's with, like, my pride's more like with you or Kevin or like somebody I'm rolling with that, like, you know, oh, man, this guy shouldn't be getting me. Like, in a tournament, it's like, dude, if I'm dead to rights and I'm done, it's like, man, I just fucking tap. I don't know. I don't see the point of getting hurt there. But, like, you know, getting hurt, like, in a hard match with, like, you know, you or, you know, like, Trey, man, when that motherfucker is, like, putting some heat on something, this motherfucker should not be doing this, you know, and I might fight it a little bit longer than I necessarily should because it's more of a, I don't know if you want to call it a pride thing, but it's just like a, you know, I fight harder against the fucking members of my tribe, I think.
Well, I agree. Because if that would have been a tournament setting and that dude would have been as deep as you are on my knee and putting heat on it, like, I would have tapped.
Yeah.
But subconsciously, like, I trust you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I know James isn't really going to fuck me up. Like, I know he can. And if I let this go too far, I can get fucked up. But part of me is like, man, James isn't really going to fuck me up. So I know I'm a little bit safer. So we can go harder with each other.
I know.
That allows us to train harder with each other.
I'll do that. Yeah. Sometimes with Kevin, man, especially like the arm bar. I'll be fighting an arm bar and all of a sudden I'll realize, like, dude, he could fucking rip this thing anytime he wanted. Like, I just need to stop being a dickhead here and just
tap
and move on.
Because you're not, at that point, you're not learning. Like, you fucked up. Your jiu-jitsu fucked up and let somebody get to that position. And so you just being a stubborn asshole, learning has gone out the window. And now it's just a fucking real war of wills.
pride and
wills and ego.
Yeah.
And no one's learning at that point, and you're just risking injury. Like, you're better off just like, okay, let's tap. You got the better of me. Let's start fresh, you know?
Yeah.
It's a funny thing, man. It's that ego and that pride, a lot of it.
Yep. So, but anyway, so yeah, man, in a tournament especially, I have trouble being put in that position. But yeah, man, the IBJJF's a weird thing. I wonder about that all the time. Like, how come it's...
Why is it on this pedestal of, like, being, like, the pinnacle of jiu-jitsu tournaments?
Yeah.
To where there's a lot of other...
Dude, Toledo got a penalty for fucking doing a little dance in the middle of her match. Like, all the GSP...
Did she get disqualified?
No, she got a penalty. And the penalty ended up, like, she
costing
her the match.
What'd she do? Just, like, a little jig?
Just a little dance or something. Because, yeah, like, the GF team guys were yelling, like, Creonte at her. And she would...
Oh.
And she just, like, you know... And, again, they're, like, getting in her head. Because, again, the story's, like, she talked to them. Like, apparently, you know, they parted on, like, not bad terms. But, dude, it's a fucking tournament. It's like the guy's yelling reaping.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, dude, just fucking heat of the moment. They're, like, trying to get in her head and yelling Creonte. And she fucking, like, did a little dance in the middle of the match or something at him just to, like, you know. And, I got a penalty for it. And she's the one who got fucking, remember, I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast. Dude, she's had such hard luck.
Yeah.
It was a match over in Europe where she had old girl and I think it was a triangle. And they were getting near the edge of the mat. And they stopped them and were going to go reset them. And the way that she had her legs, like, you know, contorted to, you know, for the triangle, like, had a little bit of a cramp or something in one of her, in her calf. So she sat there, like, before she got up, she sat there and, like, rubbed on it for a second and then stood up and went to the middle of the mat to, like, reset. And they disqualified her because apparently you're not allowed to
rub your leg for 2 seconds.
Yeah, do anything in between a reset. You can't do anything that, like, will aid your recovery or something like that. I don't even know what the rule is. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, some of these rules are just so subjective and arbitrary. They're so absurd.
Yeah.
No, like, the refs don't even know what all the fucking rules are.
No.
I think the days of the IBJJF being like the top of the food chain in tournaments are going away, because there's a lot of other tournaments coming up.
Yeah.
That, I mean, for example, the ones we get to go to all the time that Seth Daniels puts on, the Fight to Win. Those are great fucking tournaments, man. Great
tournaments. And I think a way better experience for people.
And he runs them good. I mean, each tournament gets better and better. Some of them, he gets overwhelmed. They get more competitors than he thought. Yeah. But he does a good fucking job.
Double elimination. It's not $100 for a single division. No, man,
you pay, what is it, like if you sign up early, it's $50 for the first division, and then...
They're not, like, measuring your fucking gi and stressing you out, like, 10 minutes before your match.
You get a ton of fucking matches, dude. They're well ran. Half the amount of money. And, man, it's just... For the bang for your buck, for weekend warriors like us, hobbyists.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go.
And they're not anywhere near as, like, strict. I remember, like, my first tournament there, I got a
but
little...
But they got good refs, good refs.
Yeah, good refs. It's safe. Like, I got a little rowdy with my single leg X, and I started coming across a little bit. And the ref told me, like, yo, man, watch the reap.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're there to make sure that, like, they want you to have fun. They don't... You know what I mean? Like, that's
they want you to have fun, and they're not getting, like, if your foot slips over the midline of the thigh, and they're not, disqualified. Like, they want to see good jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
They want everybody to sort it out on the mat, not some bullshit technicality.
Yep.
So look at how simple that is. Be like, hey, man, watch the reap. You're getting close. You pull your foot back. They won't ever do that in IBJJF.
No.
They'll just sit there and watch. Stone-faced.
Sit there and watch.
Stone-faced. Watch. Reap, DQ, boom.
Yeah.
There goes your $120.
Yeah.
Like, eat a bag of dicks on that.
Dude, I remember that the first Masters Worlds we went to that I didn't compete at, I was watching, and one of the purple belt guys, obviously he should know this shit, but again, just going back to the retarded rules, you can't do toe folds at purple belt. Fucking retarded, okay? And
you can't even do knee bars at purple belt.
Nothing but straight ankles, man. Straight ankles up until brown belt, I'm pretty sure.
Which is so stupid.
Retarded in this day and age, man. And so, yeah, he had the guy in a toe fold position. He like had it like kind of, locked up pretty much. He hadn't put any heat on it, so he wasn't like going for it. And he was looking up at the ref. And I could tell he was like, trying to get some read on. He wasn't quite sure if this was legal or not. And the dude was just stone-faced staring at him. And he applied a little bit of heat. DQ'd. Done. Yeah, man. It's like, dude, what would it have fucking hurt the ref?
Just to shake your head.
To just been like...
Can't do it.
Just something... Man, yeah.
No, let it go, bro. You can't do toe
folds.
What
would that have hurt? And nothing. It's like, oh, well, you should know the rules. And it's like, well, the rules are fucking stupid. And they're so hard to fucking keep track of. And I don't know.
I
still laugh. There's like... I saw Rafael Lovato Jr. post on Instagram a while back that he had, taken a course on the IBJJF rules, and he had passed. You know what I mean? Like, this is one of the most decorated competitors in the history of jiu-jitsu.
And he has to take a course of the rules.
He's got to take a course to make sure that he's fucking understands the rules so he doesn't have something stupid happen that disqualifies him.
And the way they have it set up, I think if you are pursuing that IBJJF competitor path, like, you have to take that course.
Yeah.
They got the rule book online. You can download it. You got to study that motherfucker. You need to sign up for one of their rule referee courses, even if you're not going to be a ref. Like, go take one of them courses and take one of the rules courses. That's the only way you're going to have a little bit better understanding of what the fuck they're talking about.
Yeah.
And what's allowed and what's not allowed. It is ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
So. They're probably the same assholes that are letting CM Punk be on the fucking main card.
I think that irritates me more, because I don't understand that at all. That makes no sense. Like, I can at least figure out some rationale for CM Punk. Like, I don't agree with it, but I can see it. Like, outside of just old school, like, yo, man, this is just how you're having to admit. Like, that's a problem. Like, to change... You almost have to admit that at some point you're not that you were always wrong, but at some point your current point of view became wrong, and now you have to change it. And it's like, I think that it's more, a lot of it's that, like, just, the old school jiu-jitsu guys are like, man, this is fucking how it is, like,
I hope it changes.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of other big tournaments coming up. And out there now, a place for these really high-level guys to go compete and make some money.
I mean, realistically, man, yeah, the only way you're going to get the IBJJF to change is to hurt them where it counts, and that's the pocketbook.
Yep.
And if less people are supporting the IBJJF, less top professionals are going more to like the EBIs and the, you know, the other, you know, top tournaments that are popping up.
There's Burkut.
The Polaris. There's quite a few that are popping up. And so, you know, the more that that's happening, like, that's when IBJJF is going to be forced to, like,
adapt
because they're going to be like, man, we're losing people. They don't want to compete under these rules anymore. So it's an interesting thing, though, because...
We'll see. You know, maybe a catalyst that might change that. You know, Gordon Ryan's training in the gi now, and he's tearing through everybody. I mean, he hasn't competed at a high level in the gi yet, but in no gi, you know, we've seen it. Dude's a motherfucker. Winning a lot of matches against really high level guys. He's making a switch to gi, threatening to go IBJJF. You know, who knows? Maybe he'll get in there and he'll get disqualified for something stupid.
Yeah.
And then he's got a big online presence, a big following. Maybe just, you know, he starts talking shit or whatever. And like, hey, this is absurd. Like, look at my jiu-jitsu career. Look at the guys I beat at such a young age, at such an early stage in my jiu-jitsu career. And I go to this tournament and get disqualified?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if he's to do that, everybody else is going to be like, oh, yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it's a generational thing. I think it's the next generation that's really going to, like, start questioning it more.
The younger guys coming
up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the, you know, Gordon Ryan's fucking early 20s.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's kind of the, you know, the leg lock.
Being that leg locks are so prevalent nowadays.
Yeah.
And they are really risky in IBJJF because it does not take much to get called for repeat or something stupid.
And you can't take advantage of the fucking inside sunkaku, honey hole position.
You try to do a honey hole. Deet.
Yeah,
and that's such a good leg lock position.
It's such a
ignore that and say it's not a viable technique is just absurd.
And even if you're not using, like, I use that position more as my transition to my knee bar. So, you know, like, I'm not even,
and it's not dangerous at all.
It's not a dangerous position like that. Like, I've tried to point out, like, whenever you're going for a knee bar on someone, there's a moment where you're reaping. You know what I mean? So it's weird. It's not that your leg, it's not that you know, you've crossed the inside of the leg of that you're attacking. It's, you know, like, if you were to transition, like, roll from, like, a straight ankle to a roll to a knee bar, like, there's a moment
where you're reaping.
So, you know what I mean? So even then, it's not really that, because they don't call that. You know, it's if you pause, if you stop in that position, like, that's what they're, you know, what they don't want. And what I like to do is use that position. So, because I hate going, like, from straight ankle to knee bar. There's a lot of looseness, a lot of movement in there. So people can scramble, clear their knee line. So it's like, you know, use that inside sunkaku position and then, you know, feed my arm in and secure the knee line. And then I can turn and a little bit more control. And so, you know, I don't know, man. It's just, it's unimaginative to just be like, yeah, fucking foot comes across the center line and that's it, reaping. And it's like, no, what's the intent? Like, what's going on here? Like, you know, if they're attacking something that's trying to blow somebody's knee out, then, like, yeah, that's not what you want. But if they're transitioning or I don't even know, man. I don't know. I think it's just fucking
stupid.
It is stupid.
It's stupid.
So... But anyways, hopefully IBJJF is listening right now.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they're
sure
taking notes.
I'm sure they are.
And they are taking notes.
High-level IBJJF presidents tune into Grumpy Guy BJJ on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
To figure out whether they're fucking up.
Yep, yeah.
I'm sure that's what's happening.
So, anyways, hopefully something will change. But,
all right, what else you got?
What else do I got here, dude? Dude, I got a note here. Why I love my belt.
Your jiu-jitsu belt.
My jiu-jitsu
belt. Your
purple
jiu-jitsu belt.
No, it's not even my purple belt. So here's the deal. You know, it's weird. Because we talk about, like, belts don't matter, right? Like, it's not my purple belt that I love. It's my belt. You know what I mean? It's my belt. Like, that belt's there with me every time I train. You know, it's been there. So it's weird. It's like, eventually, because you get this new belt and it's this, like, stiff, unfamiliar thing, and you're just like, God damn it, it's fucking.
There's no character to
God,
it.
There's
yet.
No character to it. It's just poking out on the. You know, it's like, God, this thing not sucks, but it's like, oh, what is this? And you know, you had a nice, comfortable, familiar belt that you have to give up for this fucking thing. And, you know, besides the fact that it's like this giant neon sign over your head, like, hey, new belt here. But, you know, eventually you start beating it in and breaking it in. It starts getting some character. And it's like this constant companion for your jiu-jitsu journey. And I don't know, man. I was just thinking about it the other day. Like, sometimes I just like to, like, you know, look at my belt and just be like, that thing's fucking, it's seen a lot. Like, I've fucking been through a lot with that belt. And it almost becomes like, you know, an animate object in some
ways.
Oh, I
agree 100%. I have a hook in my living room that every time I get home from training, I thread my belt through that hook, hangs on the wall so it can dry, and I see it.
Yep.
Like, it's kind of like in my living room slash hallway, so
yeah.
I have to walk by, like, any place I am in my house. Like, I'm going by it, I see it, and I can always look when I go to walk out the door to train. All I got to do is look to that hook. If it's not on that hook, I know it's in my bag, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
If I, like, carry my gym bag and I look over to that hook, like, oh, fuck, my belt's on the wall.
Yeah.
I run over there, grab it, stuff up my gym bag, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
I don't know why I have it. I mean,
it hangs up as a piece of art in my living room. It goes in my gym bag and back to the living room wall, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it's important, man. You earn it. You know, it's
a symbol of something.
It's a symbol of something.
Yeah.
Hard work, dedication, sacrifice, all kinds of shit, man. Discipline.
Yeah.
Like, as you start getting, dude, most people don't make it to purple belt. A lot of people make it to blue. I mean, I don't know. We've talked about this a million times. And I don't know what the percentages are, but the higher you get up that food chain, from purple, brown, and black, it thins the herd. And most of the people, I hate to say it, but most of the people you see at white belt won't make it there.
No.
And so it's an accomplishment, man.
It is.
You don't get, you know, at a good jiu-jitsu school, you don't get belts just for putting in the time. Just, oh, you came to 20 classes, oh, here's your next stripe. You came to another 20 classes, fuck that. It's subjective on your coach.
Yeah.
You know, can you fuck people up? Can you fuck people up and not get fucked up?
Yes.
If you're getting fucked up more than you're fucking people up, guess what? You're not getting belts. You know, perfect example, one of our training partners, Randy, who's a brown belt from hell. You know, he had zero stripes. He got promoted today at a seminar, 3 stripes.
Yeah.
He could have got 4, you know. He fucks people up.
Yeah.
He's athletic. His technique is good. Yeah. Hey, if you can fuck people up, you'll get promoted.
Yep.
Simple as that, man.
Our boy Trey got his blue belt today.
Trey went from a 2-stripe white belt to a blue belt.
Yeah. It's funny to say he thought he was getting another stripe or something.
And all of a sudden he gets a blue belt.
Yeah. But.
And he hasn't been training that long, but he comes from an extensive wrestling background.
Yeah.
You know, Midwest wrestling background at that, you know.
Yeah.
That says something. You know, he wrestled at, you know, a college level back in, I think, Indiana or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's like old Nick Henney did, man. He really embraced jiu-jitsu. Like, he could have come in and just wrestled everyone.
But he doesn't.
He
wants to learn jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
He knows he could out-wrestle everybody in there.
Yeah.
And if he just put his nose down and ground us all out, like, he could.
Yeah.
You know, he's strong. You know, he knows how to fucking wrestle. His mat awareness, his mat IQ is what puts him above a lot of people.
Yeah.
But he chooses not to use that.
Yeah.
Because he knows that's a crutch.
Not as a crutch, right.
Yeah, it's not a crutch. He uses it, but he knows that he's lacking in his other areas. So he tries to get better at those other areas.
So much so that he goes to tournaments and gets out-wrestled by other people sometimes.
Hey, man,
but that's okay. That's what's going to make him better down the road.
Better down the road. He's going to stick with it, man.
Yeah.
He's going to get to purple, brown, and black late.
Yeah.
I really believe that. I hope I'm not wrong. I hope he doesn't prove me wrong. But, not everybody can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's funny, man. Yeah, you don't want to be a belt chaser, but it's your belt definitely means something. It's a symbol of a lot of things, and it's just kind of interesting how it becomes this partner for you. So, I don't know what the no-gi guys do. What's their partner?
They give out belts.
I know they get belts, but it's not like the same.
They don't use it.
Yeah. It's just I guess.
Different rash guards.
Different
or something.
Rash guards and
but
stuff.
But those rash guards, you know, me anyways, I got to burn those things every 6 months. I sweat so bad. And they get to the point to where no matter what you wash it in, you're not getting rid of that funk. You just got to fucking throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from that. So. Or I'll keep it and I'll use it to work out at home or something. You know, like, it doesn't go out in public anymore. I got a few getting to that stage right now. I'm gonna have to set on fire and buy a couple more.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyways, man, that's why I love my belt. So, yeah. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Nothing wrong with that.
And what else I got here? I didn't tell the story on the podcast yet. I told this one though, but I just had to fucking share it with like Z and his peeing out of a tree. My fucking kid. And he like, I'm mowing the lawn and I get turned off lawnmower and he comes up to me. And he's like, Dad, I was up in the tree and I just couldn't wait and I had to go pee. I was like, what, did you have an accident? Like, I thought he peed his pants. And he's like, no, man, pull my pants down and just peed out of the tree. I'm just like, dude, you know, 5-year-old kid hanging out of a tree peeing. And I could tell he was asking me because he was kind of like wanting to see if it was okay.
He kind of knew it was wrong.
Well, you know, I never said you couldn't pee out of a tree. Right? We never had that conversation. Never came up. So,
can't imagine why not.
Oh, you know, it didn't cover that. So he was just trying to make sure. But yeah, dude, I'm like, yeah, we want to make sure we climb down out of the trees before we pee out of them. But anyways, man, that was fucking hilarious. I'm like...
You know, it gets me thinking, like, I don't think I've ever peed out of a tree.
Me neither!
It's kind of disappointing. Like, I want to try it now. I'm like, man, I want to climb a tree and pee out of a tree. Z's done it. Like, God damn it.
Z's done it. He's 5 years old. He's already got one on me.
Yeah, why haven't I done it? Why haven't I done this yet?
I have no clue, man. Damn so, it. Anyways, crazy Z story. But, what the fuck else I got here? Oh! I got a couple Plutarch quotes for you.
You still reading that book? You done with it yet?
Dude, I'm still reading it. I came across one of the books, one of the chapters. He goes, and so now at the start of my fifth book on the lives of Grecians and Romans, I'm like, oh, okay. So like, this is literally like a 5-set, you know, is this installment. This is the last. I'm on the last 20% of it. So
this is the longest I've ever seen you read a book. How many pages is this thing? Do you have any idea?
I don't have any idea, dude. I mean, I have to look.
You read fast. This has got to be a long-ass book.
What is it? It's got... I got 7.5 hours left in the book. I've been reading it for fucking 3 months.
3 months, man.
So, yeah, it's a big fucking book, man. But it's great. I love it. I don't know what I'm going to read next. Like, I'm going to be bored, I think. But, hold on, where's my notes? Okay, I got a couple good quotes.
Oh.
Two of them, ready? So, Lycurgus, he was the guy who founded Sparta, who we're all familiar with, famous Spartans. One of the ordinances of Lycurgus, he used to say that long hair made good-looking men more beautiful and ill-looking men more terrible. So, I don't know why... I fucking just cracked up when I read that.
Say that again. Long hair.
Long hair makes good-looking men more beautiful and ill-looking men more terrible.
Did they have man buns back then?
I don't know, man.
Did they wear man buns?
I don't know. They just had fucking long hair.
I don't understand that. Because in a day and age where you have to go to battle on a regular basis, long hair would be very...
They probably did tie it up.
Be dangerous.
Well, they had helmets and shit. So
I mean, you get in close quarters and, you know, someone grab a handful of hair and fucking jam a spear in your face.
Yeah.
Bad deal, man.
I'm sure they'd do that. Well, they had helmets.
So, I've been watching that Viking show. You know, they don't wear helmets a lot. A lot of those fuckers had long hair.
Yeah, you just tie it back and then you put your helmet on and they fought in fucking their phalanxes, man. So that was the whole thing with them, is staying together. Like... You know, so they weren't in there just like one-on-one. So that whole shit, you know, you see in 300 where they're just running around, single-hand combat, just slaughtering Persians. Like that ain't what was going the fuck on. They were like locked shield to shield, you know,
marching in, stabbing through the wall.
Like that was pretty accurate. But, you know, yeah, that was what they did. And that's what made them, the Spartans, like the invincible machine that they were.
Because they didn't break from their plan.
Yeah. Because
if you got separated...
Dude, they had they actually, one of their laws was if you disengaged and ran from battle, like, they basically never fucking lost until the Thebans fucking beat them a couple times. I mean, for like, I don't even know how long, man, like, you know, a couple hundred years, they just ran roughshod over everybody there in Greece. And, but one of their rules was, dude, if you break ranks and run, like, you're either gonna be put to death or banished. Like, you don't run. You don't do it. It put the city in a weird spot the first time they lost a battle. Because people had to fucking run. You know what I mean? Like, instinct will take over. I don't care how fucking brave you are. Like, dude, when the route's on.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And it's like, okay, like, and you don't want to lose everyone. Like, that's the other thing, too, is like, there's no fucking real honor. That rule makes sense when you are kicking everybody's ass. The first time you get your ass kicked, that rule makes no sense because why would you want to lose everyone? Like, the ability to retreat and live to fight another day is not necessarily bad. And so, but anyway, so they had to deal with all of the men that ran from that battle. And they basically, I forget who the fucking Aegis, I think was one of the Spartan kings, basically passed a decree that the law was going to sleep for that day. And the next day, it would be back on the books. So, you know what I mean? It's a weird thing. It's like, do we banish all these guys? Like, what the law actually says? Do we change the law and, like, kind of really fucking go to the root of Sparta and change something? Or do we just, hey, man, the law's sleeping today. We're going to get back to business tomorrow kind of thing. So, it was actually like he was commended for the way that he handled it, you know. Being able to come back and, but anyways, yeah,
ready to live to fight another day.
It
goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. You know, not tap into a deep ass knee bar.
Totally.
You know, totally. You can tough like, hey, fuck it, I am gonna tough this thing out. I might die on this hill, but I am not running.
Yeah.
Well, then then you die, and your whole tribe fucking dies.
Yeah, and you learn nothing.
You learn nothing. No. And then there's no one there to. They just run through you and kill you. So then they just. Invade your town and rape and kill everybody.
Yeah.
You're better off retreating.
I know. There's a fine line because you don't want to break too easily. Like, right. You want to have that, like, I'm drawing a line here and gonna die. Like, you go into it with that mentality, but at a certain point, you got to go, like, okay, reality setting in. Let's get the fuck out of here.
We're not winning this.
We're not winning this, and we need to fucking
figure something else out. We're struggling with this battle, and you see another 100 men coming over the hill. You're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
We're struggling to take care of these first 50 guys, and we got 100 more men and horses coming over the hill.
Oh, yeah.
We need to rethink our strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
We're getting overwhelmed.
Retreat or whatever. Yeah. So that's why the fucking the Thebans were able to beat the Spartans. That was another rule that they had was, like, don't engage the same enemy too often because you'll teach them to fight. And so they, for whatever reason, man, they had a hard-on with those guys, and they would just go and just fucking pick on them and kick the shit out of them. And it basically taught them how to fight. But again, like, if every time they engaged with the Thebans, like, died to the man, they never would have learned. They never would have, like, figured out, like, okay, how do we beat these guys? And they eventually, like, developed a strategy specifically to beat the fucking Spartans. And, but, yeah, so, but it was interesting, though, the fucking long hair thing. I thought that was fucking funny. I'm not sure what Kevin's strategy growing his hair out, if he thinks it's making him more beautiful or
terrible. He falls into the ill-looking category to where it makes him look more terrible. I am certain of that.
Oh,
I'll
man.
Put that out. He listens to this. I don't care.
That's fucking funny. So, all right, I had one more hair, and this one I thought was fucking pretty cool. Because this is something I think that people say, but I thought it was just kind of interesting to hear from, like, the echoes of history. Said the ancients, I think, did not imagine bravery to be plain fearlessness, but a cautious fear of blame and disgrace. It's like, I don't know. What do you think?
Say it again.
So bravery, the ancients, and this was a guy talking from fucking, you know, thousands of years ago, and he was talking about the ancients, did not imagine bravery to be plain fearlessness, but a cautious fear of blame and disgrace. So, you know, because we say, like, being brave is not having fear.
Not having fear.
Yeah, it's not fearlessness. That's not what bravery is.
No.
Like, bravery is that, I like the way they said it. It's fear of blame and disgrace. Like if you not taking action is going to result in, like, blame or disgrace, you tend to do it. You know what I mean? Even if you're afraid. So, like, if you're a member of a fucking, you know, company or whatever, and they're all charging in a battle, and you're scared, you're more scared of the blame and disgrace that you're going to face if you turn and run than you are of what you're facing. And so, and that's what makes like bravery. That's what makes like noble people brave, is to them, like losing that nobility, losing that, like that good name, that honor, losing their honor was like, that was the most important thing. Like, and so it wasn't a matter of like, they didn't go do this shit because they had no fear. They did it because their honor was at stake, or they wanted to maintain their honor. So, you know, so like some of them did fight to the death, or some of them, that's why, like, you know, they looked at suicide as an honorable option, because if it was between that or letting your enemies get a hold of you and use you and abuse you and then eventually put you to death on their terms, well, you know, that's not an honorable way to go out. Like, am I afraid to die right now? Yeah, but I'm more afraid of the blame and disgrace that's going to come if I don't. So, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of an interesting spin on, because we say it all the time, like, bravery's not being afraid, right? Like, when you go to the tournament, it's you're fucking scared. Step on the mat, like,
scared.
Yeah, being brave to compete is not a matter of not being afraid. It's a matter of, man, okay, if you signed up for that tournament, you're more afraid of the blame and disgrace that you're gonna face, even if it's just internal, if you bitch out, than if you just fucking suck it up and step on the mat and just do it. And I think that that's the thing, man, like, the you know, people gotta be driven by it, but like, if you have no fucking honor,
but if
you have no moral code that really drives code. That.
Yep, and the internal blame and disgrace.
Yeah.
That's the one that stings.
Yes. That should be the one that stings.
That should be the one that stings.
Yep.
You know, that should be the one when you're going to bed at night that's keeping you up, because you didn't do the fucking, the brave thing.
And you know it.
And you know it.
Yep.
It's not, you know, in this day and age, you know, we're not going to battle. Most of us, right? We're just going, you know, through normal life. So if you don't hold up to your word, you know, for something small or this or that, like, most of the time your friends are going to let it slide. But you know, only you know how shitty you truly are.
Yeah.
You know, did you bullshit your way out of this? Did you puss out when you were supposed to fucking do something? Only you know those things.
Yep.
And that shit fucking haunts you. If that doesn't haunt you...
There's a lot of people that doesn't, though.
If that doesn't haunt you, turn this fucking podcast off and fix your goddamn life. it should.
It should.
You know, before you go to bed every night, man, you should be thinking to yourself, what the fuck did I do today to make myself better? You know, how much bullshit time did I have in my day fucking scrolling on Instagram, stroking my fucking ego off, looking for likes on a picture, wasting time watching some bullshit TV show? You know, did I fucking do something physically to make myself better?
How are my arm bars?
Yeah, how are my fucking arm bars, man?
Coming along.
Yeah. Did I read something to, you know, work my mind out that day? Did I listen to something to improve myself that day? Or did I just make all the bullshit decisions? You got a whole day full of decisions, you know, from what you're putting in your eyeballs to what you're putting in your mouth to what you're fucking doing. And did you make the right decision each one?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, only you know that.
Yeah.
Only you know that. You can lie all you want and fucking post about this and do about that, but only you fucking know. And if you can go to bed at night lying to yourself and being okay with it, then...
Dude, there's a lot of people, they just don't even know.
Fuck right off, man.
Like, they think that internal voice that makes them feel bad should just go away.
No.
And so they need to take a drug. You know what I mean? To, like, dampen that voice. Not, like, face it and figure out, why do I feel bad? Why am I feeling like this? So, yeah, man, it's just
that
not
voice
a habit.
That voice is a motivator.
It should be.
Dude, it's a haunting motherfucker sometimes.
It should fuck,
man,
with you.
It should fuck with you.
Yeah.
If you want to be a better person, the best person you can be, that voice should be fucking with you on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It really should. You should be having these arguments with yourself on a regular basis.
Like, you should have them under control, though, because you don't want them to, like, talk you into a fucking... Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's a fine line with everything.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be a nut job.
Yeah. Well, you like to fucking veer towards that end of the spectrum, so I got to keep you straight. Every once in a while there, buddy. So
I haven't gone completely off
the reservation. Your arm bars are coming along pretty nicely.
I haven't been completely off the reservation.
No, I know.
I dance right on the edge. I like to feel I'm right on the edge.
I know. But yeah, no, you should, like, I don't think that it's not really like talking shit to yourself as much as just being honest with yourself and measuring yourself against like some sort of standard.
Set a high standard for yourself.
That you try to maintain. And you know, like that's the thing is like, you know, I was talking with somebody the other day about this and they're like, well, how do I know, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, motherfucker, you know, it's in your gut. Your gut tells you. You can feel it. You can feel when you're not being truthful. You can feel when you're not being honest about a situation. And that's that right there. So do whatever it does you need to do to make sure that you don't feel that. It doesn't include taking a drug to make it go away. But yeah, it's not fucking rocket science, man. Like,
but it's tough, man. Like,
it is tough.
Having that strong inner voice that's motivating you, man, it also beats you down. It's tough when you have, like for me, I'm speaking from my own standpoint. You know, because you're right. I have a tendency to take that a little too far. And it does, dude. Like, it's hard to stay positive sometimes because you get hard. You're hard on yourself. You know, like, oh, man, am I spending too much time doing this? And then, okay, so then I rectify that and I go over here and I do this. Oh, man, am I spending too much time doing this? And you're just chasing your goddamn tail. And you're not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing. I think maybe that's the most important lesson is you're not going to be perfect. You need to set a really high fucking standard for yourself. I guess I say you need to. No, you don't need to. You can just scrape through life.
I say you need to. But you need to.
You need it.
Yeah, people won't.
You need to set a really high standard for yourself. Understand you're not going to be perfect. And you got to be okay with that sometimes. It's not easy for people who want a lot. And I'm not saying want a lot. I'm not saying materialistic shit. Just like a quality of life and a happiness. It's fucking tough, man. We all got these demons we deal with. And, you know, one of them like I deal with is like striving for perfection. And then when I fuck up just a little bit, dude, I get hard on myself. And it's hard not to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, because you try to be perfect and every... Dude, I get so fucking pissed when someone, like, gets a better position on me. Dude, and those positions will haunt me for a fucking week. And I get fucking mad, dude. Because I want, like, I want a good round to where, like, I made a good decision here. I made a good decision here. Boom, 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 boom. Everything was nice. And then, like, I'll have a series of, like, 10 decisions where I made all the right decisions. And then someone gets one little fucking... I made one bad decision. They capitalized on it. And that fucking thing haunts me, dude. Fucking bothers me, man. You know, but
you know what you mean.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
And it's tough to deal with. You gotta balance it. You know, it's healthy, but it can be unhealthy also.
Yeah.
You gotta squash that inner bitch and kill those fucking. We all got those demons, man.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So
some of us they're stronger than others.
Yep, but yeah, having those internal standards and stuff. That was another thing Plutarch talked about a lot. Is they called it a vigorous habit of mind and body. So it was like, you know, either they had it or they had to develop it. But, you know, a lot of these guys, especially the good guys, because some of the guys he's talking about weren't like fucking, you know, the nicest guys in the world.
No.
And, you know, but yeah, that was one of the things he talked about is like the vigorous habit of body and mind. So speaking of which, I think our guests are here.
Time to barbecue.
Time to barbecue, man. Brazilian barbecue, UFC it up. And
fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah, brother. So anyways, we're going to jam out of here, guys.
Oh, so Aka's ready to go. Aka says it's time to go, so I guess it's time to go.
Yeah, so we'll catch everybody next week.
Sounds good.
Peace.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Grumpy Guy BJJ podcast.
Thank you all for listening. You can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to subscribe and leave us a review. It really does help and will allow us to keep putting out episodes. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas, hit us up at grumpyguybjj@gmail.com. Also, go to our website, grumpyguybjj.com, and get signed up for podcast updates and get our free BJJ Improvement Starter Kit. That's it for now. So get on the mat, train hard, and talk to you all next week. No trace of the tools, shaped into face, fuck the rules, snooze you lose, one eye always open, at times two, no clue, but soon a brief monsoon might give you a view to choose, stay tuned, include, won't conclude, to the end is near, beware, there's consequences for what you do, to me and demon, a devil on many levels, I keep on feeding, for several of them rebels, me, myself, he died. He died.